do it and go on to something else, probably.
Accurate observation. Okay, so we'll leave the real estate division then, as I understand it. The last division we've not reviewed is financial institutions. They came before us last week and said that they had a monster problem and wanted a little time. We asked them to submit a report to fiscal by Friday at 5. They did, and they've been working on it since then. I don't know much more than that. Mr. Long?
Thank you. Be appropriate.
Certainly. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to like this.
Well, there's some other things I'd rather be doing today as well, but it won't be boring. Mr. Chairman, I'm Stan Long. I work at the Commerce Department. There are other staff members here who will introduce themselves as they're called upon to speak. I want to talk to you a little bit to try to make a record and give you some background of how this problem evolved, because I think it might be helpful for you to understand why we propose what we propose. If you could just go back about a week with me, and I'll let you follow the process the way it looked from my perspective. One of the first things that Joan Hader told me when I went to the Department of Commerce about 2 weeks ago to visit was that I asked about how's the budget, and was told, well, there's some long-term problems in FID, and that's a division in which we have the authority to raise fees and so forth. And that division, in effect, is a recent experiment, as you know. Well, the evidence of that long-term problem, or potential long-term problem, is pretty clear. They lost 11 positions within the last biennium. And if you've been following the industry that's regulated, you can see in the newspaper what's happened. I could run down some things for you. Lincoln Savings and Loans goes through a takeover. Bank of Hermiston fails. Key Bank takes over four others, which changes the base upon which you can compute your revenue. And Willamette Savings and Loan moves to the federal side of the ledger. Well, I haven't spent much time looking over my shoulder for fear of what's back there, frankly. And I don't want to say why we ended up with the governor's recommended budget, unless you really want to pin me down, that simply doesn't work. But it's pretty clear it doesn't work. I surmise that some administrative policies from the director's office at least appear, with the benefit of hindsight, to have been unwise or ill-advised, perhaps. In any event, conversations about long-term problems, potential long-term problems, turned pretty serious last Thursday, when in a conversation with the administrator and the fiscal officer, we began looking at cash balances and so forth. I want to say that it's just a point of personal or historical interest, I guess. I tend to manage not from the typical way that I think state service teaches you, but the way I've run my law firm over the years is I want to know what cash is in the till and can I make the next payroll. And when we looked at cash in the situation in the governor's recommended budget, we were insolvent in August of 1987. Well, when you're insolvent in August of 1987, when you start in July, I get fairly concerned because borrowing or doing sort of radical surgery a month into a biennium didn't look so good to me. Accordingly, I directed that our budget analyst be advised, and I informed the governor's office that we were going to be deviating from his recommended budget, which in this administration one does not do lightly, let me say. I hope you don't find very many commerce divisions in asking for something that's not in the governor's recommended budget, because if you do, and I hear about it, it will end. I asked FID for alternatives, and I'm afraid I caused them to work over the weekend, which they were delighted to do. The alternatives I got back were all rejected by me except for one, and I want to tell you what those alternatives are, because you, in effect, sit as a board of directors over this troubled company, and if you don't like what I ruled out, now is your opportunity to at least go through the thinking process we went through. The first alternative is one which I don't want to talk about too much because I don't want to make people nervous, but I literally said, are we at the stage where we've taken all the subs out of the game and we don't have enough players to field a team, because we're trying to run a an operation this size on a decreasing fee base, if that's the case, do we look at turning the lights out and sending everybody over to the federal side, and what are the consequences? I must say, without going through all that, that I'm persuaded for today that that isn't a viable alternative, and it's one that's beyond my capacity to deal with. That's somebody else's alternative, if you will. We'd participate in a discussion of that if that were your desire. But second, I ruled out a general fund request for the reasons I've already alluded to. Governor Goldschmidt would not be pleased with that, and accordingly we've ruled that out at my level, and I'm sure you probably would anyway. But there are those who believe that this particular regulatory activity is affected with a public interest more so, say, than regulating or licensing plumbers or electricians, in the sense that we've got something that's at the heart of the economy, which is troubled today, and some small town banks and so forth are very critical to what goes on in given areas. And so you could make a case. I don't want to make it. I'm just alerting you that we considered the alternative, and I ruled it out, and I'm responsible for that. I also looked at our ability to raise fees. And my thinking there is as follows. Although we have that authority, the amount of the increase appeared to me to be shocking. A 20% fee increase, for example, wouldn't do it didn't look like, and so forth and so forth. Plus, and I've got to say this to you, you have to understand that this is judgment, and we don't have the kind of data to back it up, but if those costs get too high, you get an effect beyond phone calls. You get an effect where the business climate begins to suffer, and people want to go to the federal side of the ledger because of what they're paying on this side. And we end up with a situation where it does not look like financial opportunity is present to the degree that Governor Goldschmidt wants it in Oregon, as you attract new industry and so forth. So I felt constrained for the time being to say no substantial fee increases. Now, you know, that I'm willing to talk about that if the industry has some data that we haven't considered yet, but I don't think that's a very good idea right now. That leaves a substantial cutback on the heels of the 11 positions that were taken in this biennium already. We first ask you for some time on Wednesday because it's tempting to try to produce a long-range solution. I mean, an administrator who doesn't immediately go to that, I don't think is doing his or her job. There isn't time between Wednesday and Friday to do that, so we submitted a cut package that was the product of as much intensive work in that period of time as we could do with proper review in the various places in the department. Now, I want to say to you, and this is not the new person casting aspersions on anyone else, it simply is a fact that the management information that you would want present in the division to make these kind of decisions isn't present. We don't have that capacity. It's not that we don't have the desire today. But I can't tell you with the kind of precision I'd like what the effect of those cuts are. And a lot of good people besides me have looked at that and made some guesses, and that's what we're dealing with. I think it's okay. But please understand that this is not where we can take some look at trend lines and so forth. I hope the next time we see you that we'll be able to say our capacity is improved to make those kind of judgments. Now, I guess there's one bit of good news that I want to alert you to. I hope I have it in blood that we're all right to the end of the biennium. We're all right through June 30th. And that's important for a couple of reasons, and it's important for you to understand that. One, I think everybody involved in this industry, you know, needs to understand that there's a little breathing room and there's no reason for people to become unduly alarmed. It's just that we need everybody's undivided attention. If we have until June and we should end with an appropriate ending cash balance, we've got some time to do the work that's necessary for us to be a participant in a long-range solution. And that's how I propose to spend the time. And this is one of the reasons why the position in Decision Package 303 is so important to me. these folks are going to be busy. We're going to have personnel problems to manage because we'll start the cuts early for the reasons that you'd start the cuts early. But I've also got to start the long-range solution early, and the long-range solution is not the solution. It's that we've got to get our management ability and our information base, and maybe talk to some people in some other states, up to a place where we can be full participants with the industry. And I think that's what you'd expect of us, and that's what we plan to do between now and the end of this biennium. Manage our personnel problems, try to save a little money, try to get out of that space, for example, or do the other things that it makes sense to do, and try to get in a position where we can come back to some oversight body and say, here's our contribution to the long-range solution, and here are the reasons why. And I know Mr. Weeks would be pleased to see us with armed with data instead of hopefully good intention speculation. I know I expressed this morning in a meeting how uncomfortable I am with these cuts because they're not based upon the kind of precision that I'd like. I think we're committed to making them work, and I was particularly encouraged to see perhaps some better ideas than we had coming out of your staff. I don't like running that program without a top administrative position. We cut management, basically. If you want a short statement of what we did, we cut management pretty well from the top down, as well as cutting some examiners. I feel like I'm fielding a basketball team maybe without a coach, you know. And I understand there may be some other alternatives to explore, and we are very much appreciative of that help. Between Wednesday and Friday, you see our best efforts. I think that I want you to know, too, that I have met with representatives of the affected industries and listened to their views, and we'll meet with them again, and periodically if it's necessary. And as we try to get ourselves in position, get in shape, to create a long-range solution, we'll be in contact with them. But we want to be as independent as we can be. We want to consider information and ideas from whatever source, and we need some capacity and time to do that. I'll respond to questions.
What's the quantity of cuts that we're looking at, dollars? We've not heard that in committee.
You should have a piece of paper that shows 1,013,000 in reductions from the governor's recommended budget.
1,000,000.
Mm-hmm. So I think Mr. Weeks may have, you know, I think it might be appropriate to hear from him in response to what I've said. Whatever your
Senator Wires.
Before we go to that, I'd just like to hear a little bit of the history of this. I know you're just new there, but you've been talking to people like very fast, I'm sure. How was this started? How many people were there? What were they doing? And who's going to be gotten rid of if you cut this money? Which functions?
When last you probably visited this issue, there were roughly 53 people. 11 were eliminated, we're down to 42. I have proposed 13 cuts to 28. That's a fairly dramatic reduction in a short period of time.
At this biennium?
Yes.
This biennium.
See, we really haven't heard anything about this.
Right.
They just came in, the division said, we can't deal with this, give us time. So really no figures were given us, the magnitude wasn't described. We didn't.
All right, I apologize. I'll give you a little bit more. All I've introduced you to is the development of the problem. Let's put some flesh to it.
Okay.
As I say, this is off the top of my head, and if I'm off a position, but this is close enough, I think, to give you the flavor. There were 53 positions, is that right, Paul?
That's correct.
In that division at the opening of this biennium. Because of industry problems, those things that I suggested were evidence of a long-term problem, 11 positions were removed, eliminated. Part of the physical space was given back to the landlord, and the other kind of implementing cuts took place. When I arrived on the scene, there were 41, and 41 in the governor's recommended budget, more or less.
Correct.
For the next biennium.
For the next biennium. We, as I say, we can finish out this period with that staff level if we chose to. We probably will not, because I'll start the reduction early to try to increase the savings. When you find yourself staring at $1 million deficit in a $4 million program, you begin to focus.
Yeah, or something.
And so it's had a little attention. The cuts we proposed to, after leaving out the other alternatives that this revenue shortfall made clear, we took out the top administrative position, system analyst position, supervising bank examiner, secretary, programmer, supplies and services, management assistant, program coordinator, 3 bank examiner ones out of 18 total examiners, and 1 bank examiner two, and some other cuts. those kind of cuts in a program of 42 people represent on their face a serious impairment of your capacity, unless you're grossly over capacity today. I can't make that judgment very well. I mean, I cannot make that judgment very well. What I think the long-range solution involves is looking at doing that same work some ways other than we've been doing it. We're going to have to make use of federal examiners' work in a different way, etc. But I can't talk about that because I don't know enough yet after only a week. I just know that you don't want me to run a program that's $1 million in the hole. Okay, so these cuts in this configuration represent our best work really over about a 30-hour period. I am uncomfortable with the absence of an administrator because bank examiners reporting directly to the Director of Commerce do not sound like a good idea. As you know, under the statute, I really don't exercise the power of the regulators. I only have administrative oversight. That cut troubles me greatly, and it cuts down. I don't want to pull examiners off of banks, and you know that there are some problems out there. And let me give you this little footnote. What lies at the heart of the state system, in my view, is the ability of the state regulatory system to move quickly. I have been tangentially involved in several bank closures in one way or another over the years, and it is always the state regulators that move in the first. Mm-hmm. And then they're followed by the federal people because of the insurance, and they then tend to develop the management plan about what happens to the assets and so on. Our time frames are shorter. We're closer to the problem, and we have some legal abilities to remove officials that are struggling and so forth that are beyond the federal people's ability. And I'd hate to see, without a lot of thought, Oregon be one of the few states. What are there, 5 or 6 that don't have a state program?
There are none.
None. Well, when you look at the business climate issue, not to have that alternative is something you wouldn't want to get to real quickly. And I'm sorry for the digression. Back to the problem. It is the examiners in the field that is at the core of the function for the most part. Now, there's other things besides banks. I've talked primarily about the banks. That's the problem. I think that given some time, we've heard from representatives, and you were talking about, I was smiling a little bit when you were talking about the difference between everybody in the industry and the representative of the industry. I think it's an important point to keep in mind. We've talked with representatives of the industry, and they're very constructive and helpful and concerned. Some of them may support some kind of fee increases as we get them more information. Some of them may not. I don't want to make that call today. I don't need to make that call before June 30th. I just want you to know that call is going to be made, and we'll go about it in a deliberate fashion. Right now, the answer is no, and for the governor's recommended budget, the answer is no, the answer is cut. And if we cut too deep or not cut wisely, I'll face the music in the e-board. I'm going to have to come back. But I'm doing the best we can do, given the time we have and the size of the problem.
Mr. Long, how was it that you were going to begin your budget on July 1st and technically be out of funds on August 1st? Was that prior to the reductions, or was that with anticipation of reductions and some type of fee increase? Or maybe you could, you know, maybe it's not even worth discussing. I don't know.
I can only surmise, and I don't really want to go through that, not because it isn't interesting, it's because it's speculation on my part. And of among the things that I wanted to spend my time on between Wednesday and Friday, it wasn't rabbit hunting about how we got here. It was, how do I get out of here? I think that it was a combination of things. The budget's prepared quite a ways out. Willamette moved within that period. Some other things have moved within that period. People's ability to handle numbers may have improved some. There were also some instructions, apparently, given that, whether correctly given or correctly understood, really doesn't make any difference, to not reduce staff and to pull down your ending cash balance and some things like that. Well, you take that combination and rely too heavily on your ability to raise fees, and I think you end up with a budget that's this badly out of balance. And I'm just, you know, I didn't go through it all and understand all of the accounts and all of the funding and so forth. I just said, what's your ending cash balance and when you get your money next and what's your monthly outlay? Because I don't like to run anything without a couple of months operation in the bank, and neither would you. And when I'm broke in August, I said, we're not doing this.
Well, now, you indicated raising the fees, but it was not one of your preferred options. The fees that are allocated to the different financial institutions, is it based on the amount of reserves that they have, or how are the fees established?
I'll let the administrator answer that. Mr. Aaron Jumpin, I can.
Chairman McCracken, Senator Hannon, fees are based, with the exception of the consumer finance industry, are based on assets.
They're based on assets. So it's a
percentage. Formula. It's a flat fee plus a percentage of assets at year end.
Okay. My next question then would then be, using that as an assumption, that regardless whether we made these reductions and we brought everything back into a projected balanced budget, conceivably could some other one of those institutions be the additional straw to make your tent fold up yet?
Yes, sir. We've thought a lot about that, and I thought about that at some wee early morning hours lately. You know, if we get down to three players on the court out of five, we may have to turn the lights out. But I don't think we're there yet, and I think if we go in a business-like fashion and get a budget out of the legislature that demonstrates to everybody that we're going to go forward and that we make it plain that we're working on a long-range solution, that's the best we can do. I don't want to run the risk of people losing the program for any one of two reasons that I feel responsible for. I don't want to raise fees and drive them across the line without more information and better conversations than we've had. And I don't want the regulators to not be able to do their job to help everybody do what everybody wants to do, and that's keep those institutions running. So the good news out of all this is I've got between now and June, and what we're asking you to do is to give us a budget off into the foreseeable future, and I know you're going to want us to do something about a long-range solution, and we'll be ready to start that fairly soon. Right now I've got to turn my attention to managing some personnel problems and getting enough information to do a good job as an independent regulator.
Senator Weiners.
You keep saying from now till June, like all you have to do in July is if you've got a problem is come back to the emergency board.
No, there's no plan to do that.
Well, then what's happening in June? June is when the legislature leaves town, and if you've got a big problem, we're not here other than the emergency board that doesn't have any money to do anything about.
That's what these budget cuts are all about. Unless we have made a program miscalculation, in other words, unless we have cut too deep, for example, I don't anticipate a crisis in July. I anticipate looking for a long-range solution in July, operating on a reduced budget that represents the best thinking we have available to us now.
Well, in terms of
this budget, this budget's close to balance. It's got some possibilities of having to borrow some money, which I don't like to do. But I mean, but that's reachable.
You mentioned Lincoln Savings and Loan, Bank of Hermiston, Willamette Savings and Loan, four banks that Key Bank took over. What did that represent in terms of workload drop?
Can't answer that.
Chairman McCracken, Senator Wires. Lincoln Savings was a $16 million institution. Willamette is a billion-dollar institution that was based out of Utah. It's a foreign corporation to Oregon. Hermiston, while it went under, it was merged as a branch of another state-chartered institution. So it's alive and well. There's an entity there.
Workload didn't change. Alive and well, so you still got the same amount.
Still have a branch there. Still have an organization to look at. Yes, sir. Obviously, Willamette, which was $140,000 of revenue, we have nothing to look at. They're now nationally chartered, so there's a drop in workload.
I guess my question is, since the beginning, since the last budget cycle when we started out with 53 people. Now you're saying we're going to go to 28. How much is the workload in terms of the assets of the banks in Oregon that are state-chartered banks drop? Is that a fair way to get a ratio of supervision to assets?
Of course it is.
And so what's the drop?
I want to say to you this. When I indicated that I'm not at all satisfied with the kind of information, the quality of information that management needs, that's exactly what I'm talking about. We don't know that.
Your administrator there has just listed off the amount of assets in some of those. You must have the number of banks that have either become federal or closed up. That should be a hard figure to get. Do you have that figure?
Yes, Senator.
Mr. Aaronson.
Thank you, Chairman. On July 1st of 1985, the division had responsibility for supervision of 68 banks with 242 branches, seven trust departments, which were a part of a bank, and four trust companies for a total of 321 offices. December 31st of 86.
300 what?
I'm sorry, sir.
300 what?
21. On December 31st of 86, we supervised 57 banks, 243 branches, five trust departments, and four trust companies, 309 offices total. July 1st of 85, we had 25 field examiners. December 31 of 86, we have 18, with 28% reduction. July 1 of 85, we supervised 321 offices. We now have 309.
But what, is that the way to look at it rather than the number of dollars?
Well, I've got that also, Senator. July 1st of 1985, those entities examined had $3,558,000,000 in loans. July 31st of 86, there was $3,480,000,000, or a drop of 78.1.
Good. Do we have a copy of that?
Yes, sir.
That you're reading from? Good. As long as aren't anxious to take notes. Senator Hannon, are you done?
So that's from July 1 of 85 to December 31 of 86. And during that time, that's from the time that this current biennium started until just about the time we came into session. And this current biennium started out with 25 field examiners, now you got 18, and now these changes that you're talking about making now, how many field examiners would that take away?
I believe five additional.
Is it four or five?
Senator, I don't...
You haven't decided, okay.
We made a proposal, and Mr. Weeks has got some information that I've not seen yet, nor is Mr. Long, so I'm not sure what's coming from.
So you've gone down $78 million out of... $3,558,000.
Total assets shift has been $44.9 million reduction in that same time period, Secretary.
What is that, 71.8?
That's loans.
Well, that's loans. So it's $44.9 million drop.
Yes, Senator.
Out of 3,558, is a billion? Well, that's not a very big percentage drop in the amount of assets you're